Thank you so much, Stephen. So, if we go to the next slide, I had to choose where to come for my vicar life. So I trained in London, and I left London, and we had to find a new place to go, and we had to discern, Hannah and I, where should we take our family, where should we do our ministry, where's God leading us? And we were umming and ahhing, thinking about lots of different options, different places on the table, being close to my parents, being close to Hannah's parents. We compromised. We're very close to Hannah's parents. That's a joke. And we were thinking, where is God leading us? And people were praying for us. And someone said to us, I really feel strongly the Lord is saying the word homecoming. Homecoming, homecoming. And I keep seeing it everywhere and thinking of you guys. And I've shared this before with Lucy Urena. She walked past this the other day near church and sent it to me. But why does homecoming mean Sheffield? So Hannah is from Sheffield. She'd been living in London about 10 years when we were considering where to go. She's from Sheffield. She was born here. We were married here. And there's a sense of coming home for Hannah. I didn't even know this, but it turns out my family is all from Sheffield. My grandfather was actually born here, and my great-grandfather worked in this parish like 100 years ago, and his family were all from Sheffield. It's a real sense of homecoming for us. And then spiritually, what does it look like to come home? And for me personally, the story of homecoming is so significant. The story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, there's the loving father and mother have two boys. One of them says, give me your inheritance, I wish you were dead. And he goes and squanders all that he's given. And eventually he comes to his senses and he turns back and he goes home and he's welcomed by the father. And that was my story. I went to university having grown up in a wonderful home with loving Christian parents who gave me all the things that I could have needed, who prayed for me, took me to church, I had good Christian friends, and I still decided, you know what? There's a better way, there's a more fun way. I want to live the party life, I want to have relationships, I want to do all these things. And I turned my back on God, but he never turned away from me. I ran away from God, but he just ran towards me. And time and time again, he's knocking on the door of my heart saying, remember me, Luke, remember me, remember me. And I was able to come back by his grace and in his mercy. And so homecoming means a lot to me. And what God had been speaking to me about ministry, is what would it look like to have a church where we welcome people home, where the story of the prodigal son is a weekly occurrence, where people get to come to their senses, come through the doors, and experience something of home. And through my training, I was down in London, we did a lot of work with the homeless and with those who were really the most vulnerable in society, some refugees, and people have been stripped of all the stuff that makes them themselves. When they travel across nations, across oceans and seas, when they come out of prison and they've got no family, when they're on the streets and they're subject to addictions and abuse and other things, and people don't even know their name, people stop looking at them on the street, they haven't got much left. And yet a home environment is the opposite. A home is a place where you're loved and where you're known, where you can come and sit at the table and receive food and receive family. And in that place is where you find yourself. It's where your identity comes alive. It's where you become who God made you to be. And there are crazy statistics about people who grew up in broken homes who make up those people that I mentioned, you know, the people who end up in prison or on the streets or in difficult situations. They often don't have that foundation of love and that solid place. And so as church, what would it look like to create a home where people can come? So when people come and find and search God, they don't just find a lovely ornate building with high ceilings and a leaky roof. But they don't just find God in the tradition, but they find God in the home. That we find a place where people can come, sit, eat, share, be yourself, bring what you have to offer, and find out what it means to walk in your identity as a child of God. And so homecoming is something that really means a lot to me. And this September, if we go to the next slide, I want us to think about our vision. Who are we as a church? What do we stand for? What are we trying to do? And over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to try and unpack some of the stuff that's really been heavy on my heart since saying yes to this role at St. John's, getting to know you guys, walking with you, and I've tried to do this in conversation with leaders across the church. I've got a little vision team. There's six of us, and we meet every couple of months, every 6 weeks or so, that represents a spread of the church, and we talk about where are we heading, what's God saying, what are we doing? And we had to, I asked this question the other day, like, does the church know your vision, and could the people repeat it to you? And we kind of decided that we couldn't do that. But someone said, I think it was Francis, said, oh, we probably could tell you belong, serve, give is a thing that we say every week. And those aren't just words that we've thrown out, but we're trying to create a vision, and we're trying to create something. And so I would love us to be a church that belongs, that serves, and that gives. If you go to the next slide. As St. John's Park, I would like us to be people belonging to God's family, serving his mission, and giving him everything. They are the three things that I would love us to do. And if we go to the next slide after this, let's do it this way. So what does it look like to belong? To belong to God's family, and this is what I'll focus on today. But and the next slide after this, belonging to God's family by coming on a Sunday and coming during the week. So we're belonging to something bigger than ourselves, and we're doing that through our Sundays and through our midweek. And then to serve. Serving God's mission, and we do that in two ways. In the church and in the world. So we're serving the family of God here, and we're serving in the world outside us. In our jobs, in what we do, we need godly lawyers, teachers, bankers, roadside assistant people. We need godly everything. And we need to serve in the church and in the world. And giving God everything. And that looks like two things. It looks like our prayer and our praise, giving him our whole lives. And it looks like our finances, giving him our first fruits. So that is the very quick rundown of the three things that I'm looking at and the different elements to it. And you may notice, if you go to the next slide, this links, hopefully, with what David Eastwood had been preaching and teaching before I arrived. He was the previous leader. And David would love to talk about our three directions as followers of Jesus. We have an upward direction. We have a call to look up, to worship God, to give him our praise. We have a call to look in, around, and alongside, to disciple and welcome one another. And we have a call to look outward, beyond the four walls of the church. Where is God at work in the world, and how can we join him? If we go to the next slide. So my hope is that we can loosely kind of match these. So giving God everything. We are giving God up as our praise and our worship, and that looks like our financial giving. It looks like our prayer and our praise is an upward giving. We are belonging to God's family, and that looks like inward, being a family together. And we are serving outside the church, and we're serving inside the church. There's obviously a bit of overlap. If we go to the next slide. But I thought this was quite cool, and maybe this is helpful. So we're giving up control, we're giving everything to God, so it's upward. We're belonging, it's good, right? Come on, we're belonging together, and we're out serving one another, we're outdoing one another in love. If you go to the next slide after this. So today I want to talk about belonging, my first question for you guys to answer and talk about with someone near you or reflecting on your own, if we go to the next slide, what does it mean to you to belong to God's family? What does that actually mean? We say it a lot. It sounds good from the front. The reality can often be very different. What does it look like, feel like, or mean to you to belong to God's family? Just spend a couple of minutes throwing that question around. Okay. There's lots to talk about there. And it is a tricky one. I do think it's a hard one. Belonging. Belonging is a core need. It's a core human need to be loved and to be known and to be seen and to feel like you belong. And we are complicated. Human beings are complicated. And so to feel like you belong, practically speaking, can look so different for every single person. And for some people, it's, you know, they've never been anywhere where people know their name. And for someone to say their name is to feel this deep sense of belonging. And for others, we need people to know how we're doing, to understand how we slept last night, to know what we had for breakfast. They want people to, they want to feel like there's a real spectrum of how it feels to belong. But with the love of Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit, our hope and our aim is to be a church where people feel like they belong. And credit to you guys, it's often the feedback that I receive whenever people come to visit. They say to me, people are so friendly. People make a point to come and say hello. We've got some amazing people in this church, particularly good at this. But across the board, you know, you guys are so welcoming and friendly. And I think there's even more we can do. And I want us to look at Isaiah 61. And just to ask and think about this simple question, what are God's family values? What are God's family values? And I think, put simply, I want to lead a church that's about belonging to God's family, where the family values match Jesus' family values, where it's essentially, right here, it's freedom, where we're in a family of freedom. And I'm just going to read this again. Andy read it so beautifully for us. This is known as the Jesus Manifesto. He says it in Luke chapter 4 when he comes into his ministry. He goes to the temple and he reads a few verses from the scroll of Isaiah. But this is what Jesus is all about. It is beautiful language. And I want to be part of a family where belonging doesn't just look like a good welcome team. It doesn't just look like a cup of tea and hey, John, it's so good to see you again. How was your week? How was that thing that you did? That's all really good, and I want us to be good at that. But the family values of Jesus Christ are so much more. And we celebrated them today, didn't we, in the pool over here. The family values are life and death. There's death and there's life. And this is the family of life. This is the family of freedom. And the outworking of that is right here. So let's lean into this. Let's tune in. If you find it helpful to follow along on paper, you could find it on a Bible. The Holy Spirit, I pray that as we read this, you would really highlight words and phrases to us. I think there's so much in this. There might be one line in here that's really going to speak to you today. And I might not talk about it afterwards, but the Holy Spirit is bigger and better and much more important than I am. And I believe that the Spirit wants to speak to us individually about this as well, as us as a family. So as I'm reading, just pay attention, God, what are you saying to me through this scripture? The family values of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the day of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord, You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who have seen them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Amen. 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 So I wonder what's God speaking to you through that? There's an awful lot in there. What is Jesus saying to you? And I believe that what we've just read is what's encompassed in this pool, in this moment of baptism, where we say no to the old life and we say yes to Jesus' promises. These are the promises that we've just read. That this is the life that Jesus is inviting us into, the adventure that he calls us to participate in. But here's my second big money question. Here we go. Does our church or Christian experience look like this, feel like this, smell like this, taste like this? And if not, why not? So I want to get you to do the hard work today. Why don't you tell someone next to you what you think about this? Feel free to move if there's no one near you, or reflect on your own. Does our church and Christian experience look like this? And if not, why not? Have a go. Going to edit the slides, but I can't do that. Thanks for your help. Okay, I'm going to draw us back in. I've kicked you a massive question there, and I've not given you very long. So don't panic if you didn't solve it. I was just saying, I forgot. I would have loved to put an extra slide in here with the up in out triangle. Some other words that match up in out. To match up is a celebration, to celebrate God. To match out would be proclamation, to proclaim Jesus. And to match in would be demonstration, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, and to demonstrate the power of Jesus and God within our walls and within our family, to then continue the cycle of celebrating what God has done, proclaiming who he is, and demonstrating that within the walls of the church and beyond. And I think it simply involves inviting the Holy Spirit, praying big prayers, and saying, this is the reality of Scripture. This is my life and my reality. Jesus, come and be the bridge in the middle. Come and be the bridge in the middle. And as we talked about last week, that's easier said than done. But my challenge for us is, like, can we be a church that only makes sense if Jesus is real? Can we be a church family that only makes sense if the Holy Spirit moves in power today? Can we be a church that only exists because God is alive and on the throne? Amen? Because often we can go through the motions, can't we? And we can be a church that survives and thrives on good management and good stewarding of finances and a roof that doesn't leak. One day we will have a roof that doesn't leak. Thank you for your prayers. But what does it look like for us to hold on to those promises that we just read in Isaiah 61 and to go after it in prayer? And I think part of that is to develop a better culture of prayer here at St. John's. I think we're really faithful in prayer. And the guys, those of you who join the 8 to 8:30 prayer meeting, I think I make about 2.5 out of 5 a week. You guys, some of you do 5 out of 5, and you are the bedrock of this church. Your prayers are incredible. And we are so grateful for the prayer culture that's here. On top of that prayer culture, we want to start to see more prayer meetings in the building. Me and Faustina got some plans and ideas. We saw some of that this week. But the final thing I'll say is, what does it look like for us to be praying here at the front of this building, or at the back, or in the chairs, in the pews? When we come together as church family, there is power in laying on of hands and the freedom of Jesus being proclaimed and spoken over each of us. Each of us is carrying a lot of stuff. I'm now in the privileged position to hear a lot of your stories and know some of the things you're going through. There's a lot going on in this church right now. There's a lot to be praying for. How can we create a safe culture where we can say to people after church, oh, I'm going through this, I'd love you to pray for me. Or can we just go and pray over here? Or can me and you go and pray? Let's believe that God can bring the breakthrough. And I know that needs to come from the front. It needs to come from me. So I'm sorry for where I've not facilitated that well, but I think all of us, let's hold each other to account and say, this is what the book says. Let's bring the freedom. Let's live lives of freedom. And as we demonstrate what God is doing, then we proclaim who he is. We can celebrate what he's done, and it will be a virtuous cycle. Is that the word? Opposite of vicious cycle, is it? Virtuous. There's a phrase, anyway. I digress. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Why don't you stand with me and invite the band up? And let's do some business with the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. I want to invite you to lock in to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Lord, you're the author and perfecter of our faith. You're the one on the throne. Jesus, you're the last word. When everything else is gone, you will remain, Jesus. You were there at the beginning, and you're there with us now, and you're there, you'll be there at the end. Lord, you're the authority over all things, that your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That what we have read today, that the freedom of the Lord is available to those whom the sovereign Lord's Spirit is upon. That is all of us, because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave and we've said yes to him. And so, Lord, I repent
as the leader here for not facilitating enough space for prayer, for freedom to happen, Lord. And Jesus, we come before you now with open hearts and minds to say, Jesus, we want to see freedom in this place. We want to see lives transformed in this place. God, we want to see people come alive in you, the blind eyes open, the captives set free, those living in darkness into the light of the light. God, we want to see healing in this place. We want to see people, people's mourning turn to joy. We want to see beauty for ashes. God, that's your story and that's what you want to offer us. So Jesus, give us the confidence and the boldness to stand with one another and pray it into being. I just invite you maybe to put a hand on your heart. I know each of us is going through different things, but I just want to pray freedom and hope over you, over your heart. Joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, the beautiful exchange. Jesus, by your grace, in your mercy, in your love, would you come and restore us, that we may go out and restore the ancient ruins and rebuild the city of Sheffield for your glory and in your mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as the band sing and play,